At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Now, back to
Dillard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? All hosts on 95.7 The Game appear to be in heaven.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Here we are, man. We're here. Yeah. And it is kind of heaven.
Well, and this, honestly, spoiler alert, this is probably the closest I'm going to get. So I'm kind of basking in it. Yeah, I mean, I had a dream.
You have a lot of years left to fix that. You know that, don't you?
Well, I'm 56, so yeah. If you want to stack the 56 versus, I would need another 57 to stage the kind of comeback I would need in order to have an up button in the elevator.
No, look, this is the age of the three-pointer. You can come back faster now.
That's a good point.
Yeah,
I might need 25 years.
Launch a few.
But, yeah, I mean, you know.
Anyhow, we're here at Chase Center.
Press the down button.
We're getting ready for what we both think is easily the biggest game of the Jimmy Butler era. And that may sound silly because it's like, duh. Like, they're in the playoffs, and this is like the most recent one. But I really do think that this game has the opportunity to kind of be a launching pad to a lot of things. And if you don't get this game tonight, it at least presents the opportunity for all of this to fall off of a cliff.
Yeah, and the cliff would be obviously on Sunday. And, you know, 8 of the last 11 road teams have won a Game 7. And this team does profile as one that could and maybe, I don't know, even should, might not be fair. I don't even want to go there. But Jimmy Butler's got a road Game 7 on his resume. Steph and Draymond have a recent road Game 7 win on their resume. So if you want to profile the kind of team that could do it, they are it. But I do agree with your earlier point about what that would mean in the future. It would mean a short turnaround to arrested Minnesota and all the rest of it, and it makes it harder to go out there and steal one in two on the road. But I want to ask you this, Mark, when we're starting to get closer to game time, and for me it's an easy question, and you can join us at 888-957-9570. Who's your starter? Who's your fifth starter? Steph, Draymond, Pods, and Jimmy. Okay. Those four are taken, so if you want to call in and offer up your fifth, those four are already taken. Do you go GP2?
It's a great question.
Sturdy defense, thank you, and corner threes. Do you go with Quentin Post and hope that he can guard a little and knock down a three? Do you go with Buddy, who started the last couple, and hope that Buddy can catch lightning in a bottle? Do you go completely off the board and go with Jonathan Kuminga? I don't think you do. I'm just saying.
I'm mad at you for even bringing that up, actually.
Well, it had to happen. Steve Kerr opened up the door.
He did.
And let him in.
Well, not,
so
not
who's your
to,
fifth?
Not to start.
You're right. Who's your fifth? Moses Moody would be the other one. I didn't want to leave Moses out.
And you shouldn't, because it actually would be my answer. I would go with Moses Moody. I'm not going to be mad if it's Buddy Hield, because there's a little bit of a feel of like, hey, he's been playing pretty well the last three games. That's who you most recently started. It went well in the end for game four. And don't forget, when you look at the starters, that's who really played the best in game four, because they started both of those halves on unbelievable heaters. They played so well at the start of the first quarter, so well at the start of the third quarter. Well, those were the starters, and that was Buddy Hield. So I'd be tempted to go that route. I would guess it would go that route. But by my thinking, which who cares, I'm not Steve Kerr, I don't want to double down that Buddy Hield is going to, quote, set the tone defensively again. I love Moses Moody's defense. I'm going to hope that the shots he hit in garbage time two nights ago helped him find his shot. I also love Buddy coming off the bench because he's energy. He's energy, and he's a more consistent three-point shooter than Moody, and so I kind of like him in that second unit. That's what I would do, but that's not what I'm guessing Steve is going to do.
What do you guess that he does?
I think he sticks with Buddy Hield.
Interesting.
I think he sticks with Buddy Hield because that's what they've been doing the last couple games, and again, in game four, it worked really, really well.
But then I look at the starting lineup that's been the most successful on the year, and it's the one that has Moses in there. And that's a lineup that, would they win their first 14 or 15 games when they were all together? So I think about that part of it where, you know, Moses has been a part of the successful group. And I do think that what he did in, I guess it was garbage time. It was comeback city. They didn't make it all the way back, but Moses actually might have rediscovered
maybe
his stroke and his game. So I would lean Moses' direction, and I think that Steve goes back to Moses.
Interesting. Okay, we did ask Steve yesterday about the starting lineup and asked if Buddy Hield is going to start again, and here's what Steve said to us yesterday.
All options are on the table for sure, and I think we will consider everything. You know, there's always an offense-defense component to any of these decisions that you make. And as I said, lineup combinations, what's coming behind the play, you know, behind the first rotation, who's playing together. So we're leaving our options open.
And when you asked him about Jonathan Kuminga, like a jerk, here's what he said.
Yeah, he's feeling a lot better. I talked to him today, and so he should be ready to go tomorrow. And there's absolutely a chance for him to make an impact, you know, tomorrow. I thought he did a good job. The game he started, I think it was game three when Jimmy was out, he did a really nice job guarding Jalen Green early. Clearly, we can use, you know, his athleticism, you know, his ability to get to the rim. Again, it's all lineup combinations. And what makes this tricky, as I've said many times to you guys and to others, it's all about the combinations. And we've got to find the right balance of shooting and playmaking around Jimmy. And that's what changed, you know, the calculus for JK, and those are the things we're continuing to weigh. But he's absolutely part of our thinking in terms of, you know, possible adjustments for tomorrow.
Well, and I don't see what they've done in the past with Jonathan changing. What I take from that answer is a little bit less about Jonathan and his chances of playing tonight. It's a little bit more of Steve Kerr, I think, saying we might coach this not like a game seven,
right,
but something that's related to a game seven.
Agreed.
Yeah,
and that's why I think that Jonathan Kuminga has a role tonight of maybe it's 2 or 3 minutes, maybe it's 4 to 6 of get in there and, you know, make something happen. Mm-hmm. Attack the basket, get to the foul line, play a couple of great possessions on defense, snatch a rebound, get a steal, whatever it is. I do think that he has a chance to get in there and make that sort of an imprint. I do know that when he played in game three, they won the game, 1-0 in the playoffs with JK in the lineup. And, you know, Steve was a little bit more bullish on how JK played than you certainly were. I'm not trying to put you into a spot.
No, I split it. I thought he was actually good defensively. I thought he was incredibly disappointing on the offensive side of the ball. That's how I felt about his performance that night.
Yeah, and the team in totality, it was a lot of Steph Curry and not a lot of the others.
And on a night when Jimmy Butler's not there, if you're going to be his basically starting lineup sub, and you're Jonathan Kuminga, who, you know, has the ability to score more than 20 in a night, for him to only get 17 minutes in the game tells me that not only did I think Jonathan was disappointing on the offensive side of the ball, I don't think he did much on the court that made the coaching staff want to keep him in there.
The other stuff, which is what we've all been clamoring for, and I'm looking at the box here, and he had 2 assists and 1 rebound in 17 minutes. The intangibles, the other things that, you know, you need him to do, he didn't do. And I am kind of just fixated on the lineup that we saw throughout the tail end of the year, which is Butler, Green, Curry, Pods, and Moody, 17-4 when that group starts. So did Moses do enough in game 5 to earn his way back in? Because
maybe,
you know, Steve's big on analytics, right? And Steve,
for sure,
and Steve knows that that lineup was 16-3 in the regular year, 1-1 in the playoffs, and so that's a lineup that has been successful. And if Moses plays like he did in game 5, and it's easier to play great when you're down 30
and playing against bad players,
bench
players.
No, you're right.
I don't want to call them bad.
No, they're Houston Rockets. Yeah. You can call them bad.
No, I mean,
but
you know,
I mean, they're pro players.
Yeah,
exactly.
They're in the NBA.
Certainly,
you get what I'm saying.
I do, and I also think that, you know, the way he played and he got a little bit of confidence back might get him back in the lineup.
No doubt. All right, let's go out to you, 888-957-9570. We want to take your calls in this entire 4 o'clock hour, and then Warriors Live starts at 5. Let's go to Clint in Campbell. Hi, Clint. Thanks for calling.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up?
I just wanted to talk about rebounding, man. I was at game 4, and I saw Jimmy get that final rebound. I was like, this is a key right here, because I know we can get stops, and I know we got enough greatness on the team to win this game, and shots are going to come, but the main thing, I think, is the guards have to gang rebound, and the whole team has to just focus on it. And I think if we start Quinn post, he could get us a lot of rebounds. That was also a huge key for us to winning that game, so that's all I got, man, rebounding.
Yeah, Clint, I hear you, and here's sort of what I've prepared myself for, because the Warriors have won more games in this series than the Rockets, and they've been out-rebounded every time. So I'm sort of preparing for that to be baked into this cake. I don't mean overwhelmingly out-rebounded. I just think you have to get the rebounds that you're supposed to get. The Rockets are a phenomenal offensive rebounding team. They're going to get some. You have to keep defending well and stopping them from getting great shots. They're going to get a second look every now and again. They may even get a third look here and there. But the Warriors, to me, rebounding, it matters. Turnovers decide the game.
Yeah,
that's the way I look at
it. It's the possession game for me. It's the combination of the two. And I go back to game 3 where you didn't have Jimmy Butler and you lost the rebound battle by 5, but you won the overall possession game. You shot the ball 4 more times than the Rockets did. And the Rockets shot 39.5%, which is a little worse than normal, but that's more like what the Rockets are. So if the Rockets play the way the Rockets do, which is 45% from the floor, 36% from 3, if you don't give them 10 extra shots, you're going to win the game.
No doubt. And actually, Grandy lets us know that technically the Warriors out-rebounded the Rockets in the last game, which I actually think ends up furthering my point. I don't really count the last game because it just ended up so out of pocket in the second half with a bunch of people on the floor that aren't even really getting minutes for either of these teams. But if that's truly the case, Warriors out-rebound the Rockets in game 5, they lose. Rockets out-rebound the Warriors in games 1, 2, 3, 4, and they lose 3 of those 4. So the leading rebounding team has won 1 game so far in this series. So I'm not blocking the point by Clinton. Obviously, all aspects of the game are important. I just don't think the way that this has gone, I don't think that rebounding is the deciding factor in this game. It's baked into the cake.
Yeah.
The Rockets are taller. The Warriors need to take care of the basketball.
Oh, and they had 10 turnovers in game 5. And in that first half, the Warriors actually shot it 9 more times than Houston, but Houston only missed 9 shots.
Yeah.
Houston was 25 of 36. So
you're not getting any offensive rebounds if they all go through the hoop.
Correct. They had 1 offensive rebound.
Yeah.
Of the 9 misses they had, Houston only got 1 of those rebounds. So that's kind of why the rebounding battle was a bit skewed, because there were no rebounds to be had when Houston was shooting the basketball.
Let's go to Tom in Mill Valley. He's next up. Hey, Tom, thanks for calling.
Oh, thanks. Hey, I know I hear what you're saying about rebounding, but I'm actually going to double down on this point, because I was at game four as well, and I saw that we didn't win rebounding. And watching the bench and watching Kevon Looney on the bench smiling with all his teammates, Draymond and Steph, you just saw over the years that Kevon Looney has been so key to these clutch rebounds. Just like Jimmy led to a clutch rebound, I just see I see Loon playing a key role, getting one of those key rebounds, kicking it off to number 30 on the perimeter, and Chase Center going wild.
Would love to see it, Tom. I will say, so far in this series, this is not really about rebounding. It's more about defending. Kevon has not been great in this series. He is really struggling with the athleticism inside of the Rockets. Kevon is a big guy. He's a smart player. He's a very heady rebounder, and that's great. But when you're throwing 22-year-old Sky Flyers at him like Amen Thompson, even Şengün to a degree, Kevon has had a really hard time defending those guys in this series. I think it's why his minutes have been down.
Yeah, and I think that matchup-wise, this is not a good one for him. And not to get too far down the road, but Minnesota would be a tough one as well, because Kevon is a 6'9" center, and he doesn't have elite mobility. And to get rebounds, he's got to work extra hard. And this is a Houston team that Steven Adams is getting just about every rebound he wants, and yep, Şengün is rebounding. And then you get other guys on the Rockets who have athleticism. So matchup-wise, I don't know if this is a great series for Kevon.
Taking your calls throughout the 4 o'clock hour, 888-957-9570. Warriors Live is in 40 minutes. Get your butt to the arena early. If you are on your way here with tickets, the game starts at 6. The Warriors want you in your seat at least 10 minutes before that, ready to make some noise and welcome this game into the arena the way it deserves. Mark in Berkeley is next up on Willard and Dibs. Hi, Mark. What's up?
I just got a wild idea. How
what
you
is it?
Steph at the one, Buckets, yep, at the two, Draymond at the three, Kuminga at the four, and Davis Jr. At the five. Just to see what happens.
Well, okay, Mark. Oh, man. What, like,
get me Steve Kerr.
I love everybody who listens to this show, but that is not a wild idea. That is a bad idea. And here's why, Mark. I understand where you're coming from an emotional standpoint, in terms of, at least I'm thinking, what you're thinking is, let's get the most athletic team possible on the floor, especially in the front court. And I get it. But what you just put out there on the basketball court in 2025 is a five-man lineup that has one three-point shooter. Can't do it. Can't do it. Mike Singletary, can't do it. You will lose. The analytics are so overwhelming, as Steve Kerr has detailed, that Kuminga with Draymond and Jimmy on the floor together has been a very big net negative for the Warriors. And you're then putting that lineup on the floor and adding Trayce Jackson-Davis to it. Mm. Your spacing would be terrible. The Rockets would clog the middle. Nobody would have anywhere to go. I think that team would get run off the floor.
Yeah, I agree with you. And it's a tough thing, because you want size, because you're losing the rebound battle, but we have to also remember what happens on the other side, which is you're small and their bigs can't guard you. And that's where Jimmy Butler, if you've got shooters around Jimmy Butler, then they have to go out there and honor those shooters. And Jimmy Butler has room to work in the middle of the court. And that's what the Warriors really want. They want to be able to spread it with shooters and also have Jimmy be able to cook in the key, because you can't clog it, because you can't slough off of Steph or Quentin Post, right, or Pod, certainly. So you can't play too many of these non-shooters, you're right.
Yeah, I get it. I really do. When you watch basketball, you fall for certain players, and you like those players, and you want them to succeed, and you want to try something new, because the last time we watched the Warriors, whatever they were doing did not work. But the bottom line is this. Not only when we talk about the offensive side of the ball, like think about what's happening now on the other side of the ball. Trayce Jackson-Davis, I don't think is a great defender. Jonathan Kuminga is a capable defender and a very good one sometimes, but is inconsistent. Like, I don't think you're helping yourself with that lineup on the other side of the floor either.
Right.
And so I get it. Root for all the players that you want. But this, as Steve calls it, a puzzle. The puzzle pieces have to fit, and a couple of those guys have shown that they don't fit. Not
right.
Currently what the Warriors are doing.
And I can't wait to watch and wonder about how Steve treats the rotation, because we've seen Houston in the series play only eight guys for the majority of these games. They've gone to a three-man bench, and that's it. Steve Kerr has played more guys off the bench, but you said it before, does he approach this like a Game 7 where you really shorten that bench down? And if you do, Kevon Looney is one of the guys who probably loses minutes. You're going to play Buddy Hield off the bench, especially the way he's been shooting. You're going to play Quentin Post because he gives you that stretch 5 ability. And you're going to play GP2 if Moses Moody starts. Beyond that, I don't know how many other minutes there are going to be for other guys.
Yeah, this sucker, I think, is going to get squeezed.
Oh, yeah.
I think this is a squeeze night. This might be an 8-man rotation night, maybe 9. Like, I think about it, Hield is getting in this game. GP2 is getting in this game. I think Quentin Post is getting in this game. And I do think that there will be at least a look for Kevon Looney. But I'm not 100% sure how much further down those seats there in the corner of the floor. I'm not sure how much further down it goes. I'm really not. This is not a Game 7, but there will be shades of it in the way it is coached, I believe. The Warriors have got to win this game.
Absolutely.
They've got to win this game.
One, you look at Jimmy Butler and his career in these types of games, he tends to play 42 to 48 minutes. So Jimmy Butler, and Steve Kerr joined us yesterday and talked about how he feels good. I mean, you were there, so it's a double whoop apparently, but he didn't join me. But Steve Kerr told me Jimmy Butler is fine. And if Jimmy Butler is fine and it's a big game, and it is, Jimmy Butler's going to play 44 minutes. And
we went up to 44?
Well, I put the over-under at 42.
Okay.
And I would take the over on 42 if you want me to set it at 42.
Damn, you've got him sitting out for 4 minutes tonight? I'm going under 44 for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, 42?
I like 40. I like 40, but four-minute break, like 2 minutes per half, that's – the guy is probably still in some pain, don't you think?
Well, I mean, who isn't?
Yeah. You know? I mean –
I don't think that he's in more pain than he was on Wednesday. He's probably in less pain. He didn't even play that much on Wednesday.
Yeah,
so
he did get some rest.
And I think that because they all got rest, and you're not going to play Steph Curry 40 minutes because you don't ever do that. He's about a 36. Draymond's about the same. So then you get into, and Pods quietly has been playing about 35 in these games.
Sure.
If you want to start to slice the pie, those four have pretty big pieces. So the other four guys who you're going to play, four or five, you're getting slivers, crumbs.
Let's go to Big Smooth in Oakland. Big Smooth, what are you doing? Big Smooth?
Gone.
Nope. Oh, okay. All right. 888-957-9570. How about let's go to Cade in the city. Hi, Cade. What's up?
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
Good, man. How are you?
Not so bad. I'm heading to the stadium, but I want to tell you that Kuminga, no Kuminga, or any other factor, doesn't matter for this game. The only thing that matters this game is take care of the ball, keep the number of turnovers under 12, and shoot at a pretty good efficiency, and you're going to win this game.
Kate, thanks. I totally agree. Kate, appreciate that thought. And no, it does not matter who goes into the game, but I think it's a short bench, and I think that is the phrase that pays. Take care of the basketball. And what a perfect thing to say when we're talking about it being a Jimmy Butler night, because it is literally his mantra.
Exactly. And, you know, if they are around the 10 turnover mark and they don't allow Houston to shoot it at a crazy percentage, you're going to win the game. The only way you lose is if Houston goes bananas again and you give them a lot of extra possessions.
All right. We've got the Dub Nation Twitter poll, engaging Dub Nation Twitter poll results coming up shortly. We've got Warriors Live in a half hour. We've got nothing but you on the phone on the way to the game or on the way to wherever you're going for the game. And your phone calls the rest of the way up until 5 o'clock. So now's your chance, and it's your last one. 888-957-9570. Live from inside Chase Center, this is Willard and Dibs.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Bay Area, it's Draymond Green, and you're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Day-day! Go out there and meet the moment. That's all you can do in this moment. I know exactly what I said yesterday. So I am not going to go out there today and advocate anything that is overly physical and purposeful. Physical is great. Purposeful is not. And I believe that the officiating is going to reflect that tonight.
We'll see.
That's what I believe.
You just never know. Every crew is different. And you look at this crew on paper, and I know the game is not officiated on paper, but statistically, on paper, this is a crew that leans toward the home team. It's a crew that leans toward calling more fouls. And we've talked about this before, and you know this. Your cousin was an NBA ref for 20 or so years,
yep.
And
yep.
The referees probably right now are in the middle of their meeting. Yep. They know what's gone on in the series. They know what has happened in the series. They know the chatter. They know everything about this series. And they're going to go through their notes, their preparation, their points of emphasis, and everything. So they're not going to be surprised by anything. If it's a Draymond Green hard foul, if it's Dillon Brooks swiping at the hand of Steph Curry, if it's Pat Spencer getting involved with Steven Adams, anything that happens, they're probably going to be ready for it and prepared for it. Whether or not they call it is a whole different issue.
Of course.
Yeah.
All right. 888-957-9570. You may hear a little bit of a different ambient sound.
Oh, it's real now, Mark.
Yeah,
it's real.
Release the hounds. These doors are open up in this building.
A little Montgomery Burns from you right there.
Yeah, so here come
Smithers.
Here come
release
the fans. 4:30. That means the game is less than 90 minutes away. Starting at 6 o'clock, and here come all the fans, and great job by these specific fans.
Oh, yeah.
Because they follow directions, and they came early.
Yep.
That's what we're talking about tonight.
It's not that hard, I mean, unless you have a job that makes you stay till 5, but here we are about 90 minutes before the opening tip, and there are hundreds, if not thousands of people in the house getting ready for this game. Even my man Matisse, bonjour. It's been so, brother. You too. You look great. I've known him since he was a baby. I'm sorry. Sometimes you got to break out of character. That's Matisse.
Yeah.
Legend.
He looks like he's still a baby, to be honest
with you.
Dude,
he's about 27 now.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
No, you're good.
Dude, that was emotional. I haven't seen him in probably 12 years.
888-957-9570. Let's go to Bob in Marin. Hey, Bob, what do you got?
Hey, guys. I guess the defense has to show up today, and I think Şengün has to get his, and he will get his, but he cannot facilitate. When he facilitates, that team is very dangerous. So you can't double him in the high post. Let him put the ball down. Let him turn his back to the basket. And if he gets in the low post, that's when you double him. That's where the game's going to be. You got to let this kid eat. He's not going to stop. If he facilitates, that's the problem. And that's where Warriors have lost the games that they have when he facilitates. And his numbers are close to triple-double. That cannot happen tonight. Let him eat. If he wants to get the double-doubles, high double-doubles, good to go.
Yeah, I stop a little bit short of let him eat, but I understand what you're saying. And again, there's nobody on planet Earth that I've ever watched play basketball that I trust more in a situation like this than Draymond Green to make decisions defensively that will win games. Beyond that, defense and rebounding, as we always talk about, are based on energy. And I don't think there's any question the energy that the Warriors are going to bring to this arena tonight. You can already feel it. They're veterans. They're champs. We know this. They did not have it two nights ago. They will have it tonight.
Absolutely. And, you know, part of the reason why they didn't have it the other night was because they understand the nature of a best of seven. And you come out and you make early mistakes and you're flat and you're down 12. And human nature as a veteran, and I mentioned it, Jimmy Butler's won a game seven on the road. Steph and Draymond obviously have as well. You understand the nature of a series and you're not going to win every game. Now, the Warriors did the one year. They went 16-1 in the playoffs. They won their first 15. That was an anomaly. This team understands that there are going to be nights when you don't have it. And when you don't have it, it's okay. It doesn't mean that, the momentum has shifted. There really is not momentum in a best of seven.
There's
especially
not.
When you go from one city to another.
There
right?
is within a game.
Oh, for sure.
There is not within a week. I'm with you. The momentum in this arena tonight, it starts just after 6 o'clock. Even the energy that, and I mean, some of you, if you're listening, you can probably hear the buzz. The fans that are coming into the building, there are Warriors chants coming through the hallways already.
Yep.
It's 4:38 in the afternoon, and people are chanting Warriors already. So I know the fans are going to have the energy. I would imagine the Warriors will respond to that. But if the Rockets hit 2 3-pointers right out of the gate in the first minute of the game, where's your momentum? The momentum has to be built once the clock actually starts.
Yeah, exactly. And the momentum is going to ebb and flow throughout the course of a couple of quarters and three quarters and whatever. You know, you get into the fourth quarter and that's where the game actually can begin. If it's, you know, 87-86 after three, all right, game on. You got 12 minutes to decide
yep.
who's better tonight. And if the Warriors don't win tonight, it doesn't mean that Houston has momentum in game seven. It means they're at home in game seven and the Warriors have 2 days to buck up and get on a plane and go do it. But from game five to now, no momentum. If there was momentum, Houston wouldn't have done what they did in game five.
That's exactly right. The Warriors
four,
had all of it.
Yeah, they were downtrodden and they were, you know, beleaguered and beaten, and yet they were able to go home and pull themselves up and go out there and handle it.
Next up is Burns in the city. Hey, Burns, what's going on? Thanks for calling.
Hey, what's happening, guys? How are y'all?
What's up?
Good, Burns.
What you got?
Hey, Mark, so it's hella funny. I work at a school, right? And I'm selling prom tickets for my school because I'm like the ASB coordinator.
Okay.
And a girl is buying a ticket for a guest. And guess what the guest's last name was?
What's the last name?
Willie. Willard, my man. And so I checked it out. I'm like, wait. The son of Mark Willard himself? I pulled up your face online, showed it off, and guess who's coming to our prom tomorrow, brother?
tomorrow is a big night. Tomorrow is a big night around these parts. That is a true story, Burns.
Yes, sir. So I just had to come on in and just give you a holler. But regarding the game, you know, I think Jimmy hasn't had like a game that really, like, that was Jimmy's game. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know if he's going to have that with his injury currently, but I think, like, because I feel like Steph had a game for game three that was, like, Steph's game to really go off. So I think Jimmy needs to have, like, a marquee game. And if that's going to happen, then I think it's got to be, like, a Jimmy-Draymond kind of game where they're both kind of building off each other. I don't know. But at the end of the day, Dub's got to win it because I don't feel good about a game seven, fellas.
So, anyways, I'll holler at your boy, and thank you so much, boys.
Yeah, you, take care of him tomorrow night. Thank you, Burns.
Yeah, Burns.
All right, 888-957-9570. You know, it's funny. I get it. A fan will kind of look at a game like this, and you pick out an individual, and you're like, we need that person to do X, Y, Z tonight. I get it. I don't really feel that way. Like, I don't care. I don't care how this plays, but here's how I'll answer what Burns is talking about with Jimmy Butler. I hope that each and every one of you getting ready to consume this game, you have sort of a gratitude for what is now in the building, because it's the thing that tends to play in a game like this. If this thing is tight in the fourth quarter and you've got a physical opponent that's tall and athletic, Steph Curry and Draymond Green are not fully built to win that game. They're not. Because when things slow down in the playoffs, you often are not able to just get the first shot that you want. You have to be able to have someone. You know my nickname for these guys.
Yep.
The here you take it guy. You have to be able to hand the ball to someone who can ISO late in a shot clock and create something either for himself or for another. And for 2 years, the Warriors have not had that. And now they do. And now they do. And they're going to need that tonight.
Right. And they needed it in Game 4. And if you remember back to Game 4, Jimmy Butler scored 9 of the final 12. He had a two-point basket. Buddy hits a three. And he made 5 free throws. So he had actually 2 two-point baskets and 5 free throws. So of your final 12 points, it wasn't the chef. It wasn't Draymond Green. It wasn't Pods, who had a great game. It was Jimmy Butler and a three from Buddy. And I remember the three from Buddy was a classic no, 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 yes, yes, yes.
Oh, my God.
And he drilled
totally.
It. And it's like, all right, Buddy. But that was Game 4. And you needed a big-time gut-check performance in the fourth quarter, and it came from Jimmy Butler. So the point is well made about, yeah, Steph and Draymond, they're built for this. I mean, they're four-time champs. But when you get down to the real nut-crunching time, Jimmy Butler becomes the Batman, and, you know, Steph might be the Robin.
Maybe, maybe. Adam in the city is next up. Hi, Adam. We thank you for calling. What's going on?
What's going on, guys?
What's up?
So, I'm trying to talk that I think GP2 should be starting. I mean, the what? Rockets have been... I think GP2 should be starting.
Why is that, Adam?
Well, the Rockets have just been absolutely killing us with their guards. Fred VanVleet, 26, and then 25 the last two nights. And then, I mean, Jalen Green can just be the X factor this game. And when there's a fast player like De'Aaron Fox or John Morant, that's where GP2 comes in. So I think he'll be, if we can stop their guards, I want Şengün and Dylan Brooks to beat us.
Adam, listen.
Yeah, that's a great take, Adam.
I don't hate the idea at all. I just would say I don't really think you're losing a ton from GP2 to Moses Moody on the defensive side of the ball at this point. I really don't. I know that's GP2's reputation, but I do think there's been a little bit of slippage there for him. I think that Moses has gotten better. I'm not saying Moses is the better defender, but I think it's pretty even. So... the concept of what he's talking about, I don't mind it. It is unfortunate for the Warriors right now that Fred VanVleet, who's been rolling around against the Warriors at a 20% clip for the longest time, has suddenly decided the last two games that he can't miss. That is a problem.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's not as bad as he was earlier in the series, and he's probably not as good as he was the last two games.
For sure he's
the
not.
The real VanVleet is somewhere in between, but you don't necessarily have to play to form, and maybe I'm talking a lot about form and pedigree, getting ready for the Kentucky Derby tomorrow, but just because you're the best horse doesn't mean you win the race, and just because Fred has struggled shooting it doesn't mean he can't go on a heater again tonight and then again on Sunday, because he's a veteran. So we can, you know, discard the youth of Green and Şengün and Thompson. They're young players. They're more likely to be inconsistent on the road. But Fred VanVleet's a champion. And Steven Adams is a guy who's been in the league a long time, even though he's only, 29? I don't even know if he's 30 yet. Right about 30. But Fred VanVleet's a guy who probably won't shrink in the moment because he's been to the top of the mountain.
Just want to throw this out there. I don't see a starting lineup as of yet. Grandy, you might be able to weigh in a little bit more in terms of when that usually happens, how close to game time, because Steve Kerr has already talked. I would imagine because of that, he did not in that press conference share his starting lineup, because somebody would have tweeted it if he did. He did say this, courtesy of our guy Anthony Slater, quote, "We are ready to give our guys heavy minutes, and they are ready for it." Because of the blowout, Jimmy Butler, Steph Curry, and Draymond Green had light minutes in game four. If it's a close game, all of them could go north of 40 minutes tonight. That per Steve Kerr.
Yeah, there you go. And I put the over-under on Jimmy at 42, and I kind of like that number as far as a target. If it's tight, if the game's not tight, then all bets are off on his minutes. But the interesting one there is Steph Curry. And I'll pull up the exact stats in his playoff career, but I don't remember a ton of games where he actually went over the 40-minute mark. They've been very prudent and very strict and structured with Steph Curry's minutes throughout his career,
sure.
You know? But there are times when you got to get the chef out there and you got to play him more than you normally do. And just looking, 2013 against the Spurs, he played 58 minutes.
Uh-huh.
2013.
Uh-huh.
12 years ago.
That's a long time ago.
58 minutes, though.
Yeah. Yep.
In
yep.
a double
yep. Yep.
overtime, obviously. But
yeah, so I like looking at this one tonight, though, I think that, you know, those who wanted to or wondered about putting those guys back in the game the other night, they are targeting tonight. Literally, from the 5-minute mark of the third quarter, I think this entire organization put all the eggs into this basket. This is the game. This is the game they've got to win. This is the game that they are attempting to win, and they are not going to hold anything back. The fact that he's saying that publicly, not just that they're ready for it, but that their bodies are prepared for it. Think about it now. We're talking about not just three older players, but three players who are all dealing with various injuries. But Steve, very clear, all hands on deck. And they're going to go with their best tonight.
And they have to. And I'm looking at game three in this series. No Jimmy Butler. Steph played 41 minutes. And he went out there and got you 36. And you needed every one of those points in order to get across the finish line and get the W. And Steve Kerr said it to us yesterday when he came on for his weekly appearance, that because they didn't play a lot in game five, they all should be rested. And he just said that in the press conference as well. So as we think about the rotation, and not only Jonathan Kuminga, we can go ahead and put him on ice unless there's a desperation sensation that is needed. I think about Kevon Looney. And, you know, what you and I have talked about, Mark, is an 8-man rotation where
it might be.
It might just be Buddy if Moses starts, or Moses if Buddy starts, and Quentin and Gary. And that might be it.
It might be. It might be.
If the other guys are all playing 40.
You know, I think that you probably see a little Kevon. I'm not sure. You might see a little Gi Santos. I'm not sure. Those might be circumstantial based on what's happening on the floor. But, you're not going to see Draymond Green, Jimmy Butler, and Steph Curry come off the floor very much tonight.
Right. In game three that I referenced, you didn't have Jimmy Butler, and he played 9 guys. Kevon played 14 minutes. There was no Gi, no TJD. And you might be in a situation similar to that tonight. I do kind of like what you said about Kevon, though. He's been so trusty and so sturdy. He's not going to go in there and kill you. He might go in there and, I mean, he might go in there and not be impactful, but he's not going to kill you,
no,
right?
No, I'll tell you where Kevon actually could really come into play is if Steven Adams is having success, they send Kevon in there to be the Hack Adams guy. Go hug Steven Adams, because you can use those 6 fouls, and on plays where things do end up with the ball in his hands down low, Kevon at least has the girth to be able to try to slow him down. You can't put TJD and Quentin Post out there against Steven Adams. Their bodies get overwhelmed.
Right. And I mean, TJD could go in there and be the hack-a guy, but Kevon Looney's going to be more effective in the offensive flow and, you know, screen setting and all the rest of it. So I don't know if there's a role for TJD tonight. Probably not for Kuminga either. Gi has been kind of played out of the rotation.
Yeah.
So you're looking at 8, maybe 9 guys. If it's tight and Steph and Draymond and Jimmy are all around 40 minutes, well, that only leaves 120 minutes for the other two starters and the bench. That's
exactly.
Not much.
Yeah, exactly right. All right, Nick in Berkeley is next up on Withered and Dibs. Hi, Nick. Thanks for calling.
Hey, man, first of all, I need the Oracle crowd. I mean the Chase Center, excuse me, to be standing up all – it's the playoffs. This is the reason why we traded for Jimmy Butler, and I love the spirited debate by y'all yesterday. Steve Kerr kind of smoothed it out for y'all. You guys were on fire yesterday, and I appreciate the young call by the youngster Adam out there, man. Good stuff, man. And I just want to say, man, the Chase Center crowd got to be super hyped. And I just want to know, who do you guys think will be the unsung hero tonight? So if I'm Kerr, I give Houston a little pinch of this, a little dab of that, you know, mix it all up in the pot, and let's get this win tonight. Let's go, y'all.
Hey, Nick, the only thing that we can tell you, knowing that we are still over an hour away from tip-off, nobody has gotten to their seats, and a strong percentage of Warrior fans maybe are not in the building yet, but if the energy that we're feeling from the people who are here is any indication, this place is going to be on its ear.
Oh, no doubt.
Tonight.
No
so
doubt.
So you do not need to worry about that. As far as the X Factor, I'm feeling north of 15 points from Brandon Pajemski tonight. I like what I've seen from him in this series, outside of when he obviously was completely sick and practically missed the entire game and scored nothing and did nothing. Outside of that, he looks built for this. He does not look overwhelmed. It's a home game, which is where he, as a role player, is going to play his best. I think you need his points tonight, yeah. And I think you'll get them.
I think you jumped the bit before we get to the Take It to the Bank prediction, which is coming up in Warriors Live, but I don't disagree, and I was going to give the same answer, and the reason why I give the answer is because Houston, in Game 4 in particular, they played a lot of zone, and when you watch the game, they had Steph contained on the perimeter, and so many times Pods would just flash to the foul line, pass to Pods, and he facilitated against the zone out of that area, and oh, by the way, he hit the 6 threes and he had 26.
Yep.
And you're right about younger players at home. They do play better. I like that prediction. And coming up in 20 minutes, you can make it officially. But I think Pods is a huge X factor. And the other one for me is Buddy Hield. Buddy's going to get his chances to shoot the three. I don't know how much Quentin's going to get in terms of a leash. Buddy's going to get his chance. And, you know, the whole thing about him being the defensive catalyst the other night is humorous, but it also was kind of true. He played good hustle defense. So for me, it's Buddy Hield. He's got to be the X factor if they're going to come out tonight and win.
Okay. We have one more caller that we're going to get in here.
Okay, just one?
But before we do that,
okay,
remember that engagement is everything on the court and in life. Vote in our engaging Dub Nation poll on 95.7 The Game's Twitter page before every game, presented by Shane Coe, your friend and jeweler. And, of course, many of you have already done that today. What we asked, if the Warriors were to not win tonight, who do you think ends up winning this series? Is it the Rockets or is it the Warriors? And you'd expect a heavy Warrior response with our audience, but listen to this.
Oh, God.
Only 56% answered Warriors. 44% of the respondents say Rockets. That gives you a little idea of how dicey it would be if this thing does not end tonight.
Yeah, the home team has a 74% win percentage in Game 7 all time. Although, 8 of the last 11, Mark, as I've been telling you repeatedly, 8 of the last 11 road teams in the Game 7 have won. So it's not a guarantee that the home team wins it. 74% historically is indicative, 151 game sevens, but I don't even want to have this stat on my paper anymore.
And so it's gone.
It's gone.
We've got time for one more. You want to squeeze it in?
It depends on what kind of a caller, Mark. Are we talking about a marquee caller?
Well, let me see what his name is.
Somebody who's going to set the appropriate tone?
His name is Kurt in Hayward Hills.
Oh, we got to take that.
Kurt, welcome to the show.
Hello. The best sports boys in the Bay Area. Is that correct, boys? The best.
What are you doing today, Kurt? What are you doing now?
I'm getting ready to watch the game. I'm getting ready for the Warriors to kick Houston's butt. They're going down tonight, fellas. for sure. We don't want a game seven. It's the veterans. You know how they're going to Green and Curry, the greatest shooter ever, Green, the best defensive player. And then we got Jimmy, playoff Jimmy, who's hungry for a championship. This is the game, and it's a must win. We do not want game seven. The crowd is going to be rumbling. The place is going to be rocking. And the Warriors are going to shut them down. It's going to be a defense game, and we're going to take it to them. And Brooks, you're going to get your ass handed to you tonight. You're going down. You never won a championship, and you're not going to win one against us. You're out tonight. You guys are out.
Hey, Kurt, real quick, what would you say about the idea of maybe a game seven on Sunday? There he goes. That's Kurt in Edward Hills.
Get out of here, Houston.
We got a game tonight. Warriors Live is moments away. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. An hour till tip. Let's do this thing. Warriors Live next on Willard and Dibbs.